Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Okay, this is going to be quite short and brief this morning. We have a prayer meeting in church. 6 hours prayer meeting, 8 through 2 p.m. Hallelujah. 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. I'm going to be praying extensively. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It's been School of Prayer Reloaded for the month of October. I want to encourage you to be a prayerful person. I want to encourage you to be committed to prayer. Christian life without a commitment to prayer is lopsided. You can't claim to be a man of the word, a man of scriptures. You're given to study of the word of God. Some folks will say, I'm a word man, but I'm not really a prayerful person. You are joking. The word of God commends us to prayer. Hallelujah. The word of God instructs us copiously on prayer. Luke 18:1, Jesus will say, men ought always to pray. Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray and not to faint. Colossians 4, to continue in prayer. Continue endlessly in prayer. Being vigilant in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. We are to pray. Prayer is a commitment. It's a part and parcel of Christian commitment. Glory to Jesus. Bible at Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles answered and said, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Glory to Jesus. Prayers. It's an integral part of the Christian life. I've met Christians who believe that the era of prayer is gone. And right now, all we need to do as believers is just to confess the word of God. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Nothing can be farther from the truth at best. That's a theology of laziness. Hallelujah. A theology of laziness. You must be devoted to prayer. It must be your culture, your habit, your lifestyle. You must develop it passionately, deliberately. You must be cultured in prayer. Hallelujah. Have a time you set aside in the day for praying. Prayer is essential. Prayer is vital. Prayer is necessary. Prayer is Bible instruction. Glory to God. Okay, so what salvation is not? This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 60. What salvation is not? Yesterday we saw how salvation is not based on our service to God. We are not saved because we are serving God. Hallelujah. We are not saved because we are serving God. Amazingly, in many religions, people get things from their gods and their deities and their lords because of their service. In Christ Jesus, in the Christian faith, we got all that we would ever need to get before service came. Hallelujah. That is, God requires us to serve only after he has given us all that he'll ever have to give us. Glory to God. Someone says, oh, so what about the place of miracles? Is God still not working miracles today? No. It is men working miracles by the ability of God on the inside. Glory to Jesus. So, well, we can say, technically, God is doing miracles. However, we know that miracles are an offshoot of men's response to God's provision. So we take a hold of our authority, of our faith in Christ Jesus. We speak to situations and things happen. Hallelujah. Bible says we are the ones to lay hands on the sick. So all that we would ever need has been supplied. The Christian faith differs from all other kind of faiths because this is a faith that has supplied all we would ever need before demanding our service. Hallelujah. So we are serving God in view of what he has done. We are serving the Lord in view of what he has done. We are serving God in view of what he has done. We are not serving God for God to do something. We are serving God because he did something. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God has already blessed us. We are not serving to be blessed. We are serving because we are blessed. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. So God has already given us all that pertains to life and godliness. Did you see that? Did you see that? God has already given us all that we would ever need for life and godliness. Everything has been supplied. Then he demands service in view of this reality. So God says, serve me because of what I have done. Not serve me so I can do. It is serve because I have done. Hallelujah. This is Christianity. So it is too late to be preaching salvation as an offshoot or a reward of our service. Because we know that we are not serving God because of what we are to get. We are serving God because of what we got. Romans chapter 12, look at this carefully. See how Paul puts this at Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Have you seen that before? Have you seen this before? It's possible you've seen it before. It's possible you've not seen it before. There are Christians who don't read their Bibles. But if you have seen it before, well, glory to God. If you have not seen it before, glory to God, all the same. And then you are seeing it today. He says, I beseech you by God's mercy, in view of what God has done, in view of the mercies of God, which he had carefully explained from chapter 1 to chapter 11. The goodness of God has presented in Christ Jesus, the accomplishment, the gift of righteousness by faith, the gift of eternal life, salvation already fully accomplished, the eternal purpose of God that has come to pass in Christ Jesus, in view of these mercies. Hallelujah. In view of these mercies, in view of all he has discussed as the benefit of redemption, I beseech you to present yourself as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. It is your reasonable service. That is, you have to serve God because of his mercies already shown you in Christ. Hallelujah. We are not to serve God to obtain mercy. We are to serve God because his mercy has been shown us in Christ. Glory be to God. His mercy has been shown us already in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. His mercy has been shown us already in Christ Jesus. And that's the basis for Christian service. So we don't serve him to obtain mercy. We serve him because we have obtained mercy. Glory to Jesus. At Romans chapter 9, Paul already spoke about the mercy of God and how God has shown his mercy to us. Romans 9:14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says, so God has already shown mercy. Hallelujah. God has already shown mercy in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. So Bible calls us the vessels of his mercy. Romans 9:22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So he calls us the vessels of God's mercy. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9-10. Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who once had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, who had not obtained mercy. So in time past, we didn't obtain the mercy of God. We couldn't obtain the mercy of God, but now in Christ Jesus, we have obtained the mercy of God. Hallelujah. So for being the people of God, we have found his mercy. So you can't be a Christian and you are claiming you are destitute of God's mercy. For being in Christ, for being found amongst his people, for being the people of God, we have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. So salvation is not a result of our services. Salvation is not based on what we do. It's a reward of Jesus' work. Hallelujah. We are not to serve God to obtain mercy. We are not to serve God because this mercy here speaks of salvation. We are not to serve God to obtain mercy. We are to serve God because we have obtained his mercy. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. Jesus came to do the work of the Father. Where salvation is concerned, we attribute all the glory that belongs to salvation is attributed to Christ. All the praise and adoration, all the praise, thanksgiving, you know, for that work abounds to Jesus and the Father. We have no share in it. Glory to Jesus. You see, if you and I did something to be saved, if you and I, contribute anything to be saved, then we have to praise ourselves and thank ourselves alongside thanking Jesus. So we can't just be saying, thank you for saving me. It will be thank you for saving me, and I also thank myself for saving myself. But that's not the case. The reason why all the praise, all the glory abounds to him is because he alone did the work. John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. Look at this. Glory to Jesus. John 4, 31 to 34. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, verse 31 to 34. Bible says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So Jesus came for a particular work, and he had his mind set on fulfilling and finishing that work. That is the work of salvation. Glory to Jesus. I have food to eat, which you know nothing of. My food is to do the will of him who sent and to finish his work. Look at verse 35. A further description of that work at verse 35 to verse 37. It says, Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Have you seen? To reap what you have not labored for. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Hallelujah. So the work of salvation is done fully by Christ Jesus. We merely reap that which we did not labor for. Hallelujah. We are reaping that which we have not labored for. Glory to Jesus. So even when we have a harvest of souls, it is not our work that is saving men. It is the work of Christ. Glory be to God. Look at John chapter 6 verse 33 to 38. So Jesus came to do the work of salvation. As a matter of fact, this is why he's called the Savior. Hallelujah. We're going to have a study why he is called Savior. And you see how that we can be putting the spotlight on both Christ and the believer, both Christ and the sinner, both Christ and the recipient of the work of salvation, you know, where salvation is concerned. He alone takes all the glory because that is why he's called the Savior. Hallelujah. John chapter 6, verse 33 to 38. Glory be to Jesus. Bible says, from verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Have you seen? Of all he has given me, that's the will I have come to do. That's the will of God I have come to do, to raise them up on the last day. Salvation is the work of Jesus. Verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Mind you, he is the one who has come to do this will. This will by which men have everlasting life and they are raised up on the last day is Jesus' work. That is the work he came to do, the will of the Father. Glory to Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10, glory to Jesus. Luke 19, 10. Hallelujah. Luke 19, 10. Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." From verse 9, "And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he's also a son of Abraham." So Jesus entering into his house, for him to have entered into his house, he says salvation has walked in. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the salvation of God in human form. Jesus came as the salvation, is as the embodiment of God's salvation. He himself is salvation. Hallelujah. So for entering the house of Zacchaeus, he says to him, today salvation has come into your house. He now says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. So salvation is the work of the Savior. It is the work of Christ. You don't do anything to get it. You don't serve God to be saved. You serve God because you are saved. And we must not mix it. Hallelujah. You must never mix things up. Look at Acts 13, 38 to 41. Acts 13, 38 to 41. Glory to Jesus. Acts 13, Acts of Apostles 13, verse 38 to 41. Bible says, "Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So, it is not by our works we are justified from all things, by believing in what Jesus did. Now look at verse 40. "Beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare to you, have you seen a work so incredible? Hallelujah. Even if you were told, you will have a hard time believing. It says, marvel and perish. That is, stay in amazement and wonder. Stay in despise and perish. Stay in despise of the work that will be done and you perish, because this is the only means of salvation. It says, I work a work in your days. That is, it is not what you do, it is what he's going to do. As a matter of fact, it is what he has done. This work that I'm doing, it is something you'll be told and you by no means believe. Amen. Now, this is not something God is saying must happen or come upon everybody or fall upon everybody. This is a choice based on the state of the recipient. That's why he's saying, beware therefore, lest what has been spoken to the prophets come upon you. That is, you have a choice to let it come upon you or not. You have a choice. You can believe the gospel or resist it, and then what the prophets have said will come upon you. What the prophets have said will be an apt description of what or of your state. Hallelujah. Men will not believe that which has been done, because to them it sounds too incredible. How can you say God does not need my impute to save me? Well, that is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. It's news too good to be true. It's news too good to be true. But this is the truth. Hallelujah. This is the reality. This is the truth. A work done in our days, which is so incredible for men to believe. Because men have been schooled and trained in a world that operates a reward system. Hallelujah. Every good thing comes to you because of something you did. But then if you look at the word carefully also, you discover that there are certain things that come to you not because of anything you have done. For instance, if you are born into a family, you are entitled to an inheritance not because of anything you did, but because you are born a child. Hallelujah. Now, there could be a maid servant in the house that is doing everything well, that is well-behaved, obedient, loyal, and all that, disciplined, a good example, yet is not entitled to an inheritance because, see, inheritance comes to children. Hallelujah. Except for some extreme cases of liberality where the man just feels that, let me be good to this person, and then they include your name in allotting inheritance to children. So they include the name of the maid. You know, we've had cases like that. So imagine, even in the world, based on the man's generosity, you can be entitled to something you did not labor for. Glory to Jesus. So this shouldn't be too incredible, because even in the world, there are things that come to you not as a result of what you have done. The person is just liberal and generous. Hallelujah. Liberal and generous. But then if you look at it carefully again, this does not even explain the concept of salvation. Because in salvation, it's not like we were children of God, then God is giving us inheritance because we are children. I mean, we were sinners. To him who justifies the ungodly. Have you seen? We were sinners. We were outside the family of God. So God invited us based on his generosity into an inheritance that belonged to Christ. So we became a co-possessor, a joint heir with Jesus, not because we were sons. He called us into sonship when we were strangers and enemies and sinners. Glory to Jesus. So you see, the generosity of the man to his children is different from what happened to us in Christ Jesus, because we were not children. Hallelujah. The generosity of a man to servants also is not even applicable here. He's not even able to correctly explain or depict what happened in salvation, because we're not serving God either. Glory to God. So some way, somehow, it's still very hard for humans to understand the concept of God's goodness as shown in Christ Jesus, because it is something totally strange in the world. You won't find it in the world. Glory be to God. And this is why salvation does not happen to a man except by the power of the Spirit. Amen. As we preach the gospel, we trust that the Holy Ghost is able to bear conviction in the hearts of the hearers. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to 28. So salvation is not a fruit of our works. It's not a fruit of our service to God. We serve him because we are saved. We don't serve him to be saved. Glory be to God. You see, as basic as these things sound, as basic as these things are, you know, and as they sound, they are very, very scarce to be found in the body of Christ. They are very scarce. Hallelujah. Romans 3, 19 to 28. It's heartbreaking, actually. It's sad. It's sad that Jesus paid such a huge price. Jesus paid such a huge price. And then this reality, this truth is being suppressed on in the world. Ha! Glory to God. You see, we have a generation to save. We must preach. We must preach. We must be intense about it. We must be radical about it. Glory be to God. What is at stake is so huge. The lives of men, the souls of men for whom Jesus died. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to 28. Bible says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Whether you were obeying the law or you were not obeying the law, you're on the same page. Hallelujah. The man that fully obeys the law and the man that does not obey the law, they are all still under the condemnation of the law. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Glory to God. By the deeds, that is, by living righteously according to the law, you are still not justified. Glory to Jesus. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Have you seen? The righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law. Not based on our doings, not based on our works, not based on our service, not based on our faithfulness, but based on Jesus and what he has done. Hallelujah. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. See that faith in what Christ has done is what brings justification, is what saves. You don't do something to be saved. You don't serve Jesus to be saved. You believe in his service for you. You believe in what he did for you. Hallelujah. And then you are saved based on your faith in this. Hallelujah. You are saved based on your faith in his finished work. Hallelujah. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? Have you seen? It is excluded. Boasting is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. So faith excludes boasting in one's work. Verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So faith excludes boasting. When you find a man say, I saw myself, I had a dream or a vision, I saw myself in heaven. Thank God, though, I was serving God. Thank God I was doing this, doing that. That's a man not operating by the law of faith. His vision is not informed by the law of faith, because the law of faith excludes boasting. The law of faith totally excludes boasting, gives no room for self-glorying. Hallelujah. Two portions of scriptures, Ephesians 2:8-9, we've seen it over and over again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you seen? If it is of works, you can boast. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Because Abraham wasn't justified by what he did, he couldn't boast about it. He cannot boast about it. And that's the same thing for you and I. We can't boast about being saved. We can't say it was because of something we did. We can't point at a contribution we made to salvation. It is purely the work of Christ. Hallelujah. I said two scriptures. Let's make it three. 1 Corinthians 1. Three scriptures. Hallelujah. Three portions of scriptures. Bible says at 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31, that as it is written, he will glories. Let him glory in the Lord. Have you seen? Because Jesus became all this for us. We didn't contribute anything. We didn't do anything. We didn't add anything to it. There was no impute of ours in the work of salvation. It says, let him who glories, glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let him who glories, glory in the Lord. We'll continue from here next week, Monday. Do good to tune in. Next week, Monday, we'll have a time of our lives again in the Word of God. Next week, all through next week, a time of our lives in the Word of God. Do good to tune in. Invite somebody, put on your social media status, and just talk about it, and let's come together again to have a feast of the Word of God. Do have a great day, full of the Word, full of prayers, full of the Spirit, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.